The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the reading.
From a blog called "The Bite in the Apple." Like a breath of fresh air, doubting Thomas enters the over-lilied atmosphere of Easter. And if you were standing up here, you'd know what that means, because I could really smell the lilies this morning. He's reliably among us on the Sunday after Easter and every Sunday. He's part of us, steadily, reassuringly. He anchors us. Sitting next to every true believer in the Easter pews is a doubter, whose presence is dedicated to unanswered questions, and perhaps to the love of someone who has no doubt, which is why Doubting Thomas was in the room that day. He belonged to that group, those who believed, those who said they did, but they didn't, those who had questions but were afraid to pipe up. Churches are not communities of believers, but communities of people who have questions, who doubt, who hope, who come to find something out. Now, I think Thomas must have awakened that morning with his mind on Jesus. The image of the tomb was still in his head. It probably consumed all of the disciples. The tomb was empty. What did it mean? Now, Jesus had joined the disciples in that locked room a week earlier, but Thomas wasn't there that day to witness what the others were talking about. And it's kind of funny that we point to Thomas all the time as the guy who doubted. But the disciples, the others, have already seen Jesus, yet the door is still locked. What's going on with that? So they're not so hot in their belief yet either. But today we're going to talk about poor Thomas, who gets the bad rap all the time. He couldn't believe. It doesn't say in the scripture that he doubted. He said, "I can't believe." He's just probably starting to wrap his mind around the fact that Jesus, his buddy, the guy he's been eating with, walking around the dusty roads with, is gone. But the disciples and Mary are yammering on and on about, "But we've seen him, honest." Thomas says, "I don't know. I need to see. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. He wanted it right in front of him, plain as the nose on his face. Thomas wanted to be part of that community that said they believed. So he was still hanging with them that day. He wanted to be part of the community that believed in a transformed, alive God. I believe something, scratch your head, wonderful had happened. Jesus had to have been transformed in some extraordinary way. Otherwise, when Mary bumped into him in the garden, she would have known him right away. I mean, we know our friends when we see them, even if we see them at the grocery store and they're in their sweats and they're kind of grubby. We don't go, oh, hey, I don't know you. We recognize them. She didn't know Jesus. The travelers on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Jesus until he broke the bread. He did something familiar. He made himself known. Well, as I was preparing for this sermon about poor doubting Thomas, I came across a painting by Caravaggio. I invite you to pull out your bulletin a minute and take a good look at this painting from the 16th century. Take a close look. What's the first thing that jumps out at you? Go ahead, shout it out. What is it that grabs your attention? Robin said it's the finger. Anybody else see something that really jumps out at you? I invite you to take a look at the hand that's on Thomas's arm. Whose hand is that? Is it? Or is it one of the other guys going, wait a minute, don't put your finger there? I stood there for a while trying to position my hand to figure out, and I'm not sure who that hand belongs to. So anyways, there's a lot going on in this painting. There's a lot of things I could preach about out of this. But what caught my attention, and what I invite you to take a moment to look at, is the expression on Jesus' face and how he's pulling aside his garment. I don't see condemnation in his face. I don't see anger. I don't see reluctance. What I see is here, take a look. Caravaggio must have got that out of that scripture story. Jesus was offering himself to Thomas. Thomas, I get that you doubt. I get that you don't see that I'm walking around anymore. Take a look. Here it is. I think Jesus every day draws back his garment. I think every day Jesus lovingly says, here I am walking around on the streets. Take a look. Where is it we might see Jesus tomorrow? And once we see him, what do we do with that? You know, we're told every month when we prepare the communion table that we're granted or we have the presence of Christ in the bread and the cup. We expect to find the presence of Christ in this room, at least on that Sunday. Oh, I'm told, presence of Christ in the bread. But are there times in our week when we close our eyes in disbelief and say, that can't be Jesus? In Matthew, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. So to me, that says that when I can kind of step out of my box, when I can find a way to be loving and giving, I'm touching the presence of the divine. For me, there was often on my way to work at 5:30 in the morning, I'd get off the highway and there was a really busy corner. And at 5:30 in the morning, rain or shine, a man was standing there holding a sign, "Hungry, please help." And I'd squeeze my eyes shut while I was waiting for the light to change, going, "Oh, that can't be Jesus. I've only got a $20 bill in my wallet. I'm not going to give that guy that $20 bill. That can't be Jesus." Yet Jesus said, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me." That can't be Jesus. Recently on PBS, there was a segment about our own Actor 26 Depot. That can't be Jesus. Me going there to have lunch, chatting with the workers, asking Kevin how his week was at work. That can't be Jesus. Or can it? Are we closing our eyes to the divine in our everyday because we don't believe the resurrection really happened? That can't be Jesus. But do I see Jesus in that tall young man bussing the tables who seems to want to enter into conversation? Doesn't look much like the painting that Caravaggio's got. Doesn't have much hair. Doesn't have a beard. Doesn't have a white robe. That can't be Jesus. But maybe if I do converse with him, I can reach out my disbelieving finger and touch one of the world's wounds, bringing resurrection to that young man and to myself. On Saturdays, when I have time to troll around on the internet and I check out our UCC website, there's a segment called Global Ministries. It's a connection between us and our sister denomination, the Disciples of Christ. Global Ministries provides water, justice for women around the world, farming efforts, real missionaries, which we don't talk about in the United Church of Christ. Missionaries? And there's a donate now button at the top. That can't be Jesus. That can't be what he meant when he said, "Feed my sheep. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me." And so I troll on by and go to a shopping site. Yep, that big donation button, that can't be Jesus. Are we like Thomas, not believing the transformative resurrection is in front of us every day? Or can we somehow reach out our trembling, disbelieving finger and say, "I know I'm not going to go to one of those third world countries. I'm not going to dig a well. But my dollars can go there. I can talk to that young man bussing my table at After 26. And maybe it's not a good idea for me to roll down the car window and give that guy a $20 bill. But I can go two blocks over and volunteer at the kitchen where he can get a free meal. And maybe actually sit down at the table and have a conversation and find out how it is he came to stand on a street corner with a sign that says, "Hungry, please help." Because just maybe that can be Jesus. I think we can do these things and more. I'm sure each of you, if you think about it, there's Jesus standing somewhere in your week. If you open your eyes, if you put out your finger, maybe you can be transformative resurrection for somebody this week. And I think that you would surprise yourself and find that you are transformed and resurrected in some way with that action of stepping out of your disbelief to say, just maybe, that can be Jesus. Just maybe I can be the church. I can be justice. I can be liberation. How different would our world be if we could find it in ourselves? If we could lift our own garments and lovingly offer what it is we can do. Jesus said, I'm freely giving of myself. We're asked to do no less. In our doubt, in our assuredness, it's a lot to ask. Can we see Jesus in one another, people we don't know? I think if you can enter into the idea of recognizing a risen Christ walking around in the world, it'll transform you. It'll transform your neighborhood. It can transform the world. The gift of yourself freely given. And may you make it so.